right now on the 64-degree Tuesday. Just a beautiful weather week. Dr. Jason Kanz joins us. We talked about it yesterday. An ongoing conversation is what we have for just a handful of minutes, five or so minutes, weekday mornings, including this one. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
So
I'm
last
glad we can
night,
have these talks.
Yeah, I am too. So last night, we're going to dive into the current events here on Twitter, Christian Twitter. The United Methodist Church, so Neil Shenvey, I don't know who he is, do you?
I don't either. No.
All right. He tweets this. He said, the United Methodist Church has enlisted Robin DiAngelo to produce a series of videos on deconstructing white privilege. There's a best-selling book about white privilege. It's probably more controversial amongst some conservatives who are battling, oh, is there really white privilege or not? And I think I'm not going to deal with that, but this is what where the controversy came. And you saw this before I did, and so we'll ask your reaction. Eric Metaxas, talk show host, author of many best-selling books, tweeted this. Jesus was white, said Metaxas. Did he have quote-unquote white privilege, even though he was entirely without sin? Is the United Methodist Church covering that? I think it could be important. It's that first sentence that garnered a firestorm on Christian Twitter. His words, Dr. Jason Kanz, Jesus was white. What about that?
Yeah, I messaged you when I saw that last night. And I think one of the initial things that I was wrestling with was Metaxas saying that because he's seeking to be provocative or because he actually believed Jesus was white? And I think the reality is, either way, it was a misguided tweet. You know, too often, I think we've had this notion of, I don't know, I think white Jesus. And, you know, Jesus came from the Middle East. He clearly was not white as we would conceptualize it. But, you know, for me, I found myself wondering, what was his purpose in sharing that or writing that Jesus was white, other than to be provocative?
And I guess I wondered if when you first told me about it without seeing the actual tweet, I thought, well, he was probably joking. But when you actually read the tweet, no, it doesn't seem like that, right? So,
right. Yeah, and I think that's been certainly the general response of Twitter has been a response of that, you know. And I saw a post just this morning about a person who said, how do we respond to this in such a way that we can help to identify, you know, who Jesus truly was? You know, Jesus was a man who identified with the disenfranchised, the downtrodden, who identified with the oppressed and minorities.
Yeah.
I think Metaxas was trying to say, you know what? No, I don't think that was the case. And you had shared a quote with me just a little bit ago, and I can't remember
right. Specifically
what it was.
Yeah,
but
and
I
so,
thought that was really good.
First of all, Rich Stearns, former longtime head of World Vision, his reply was, Jesus likely looked like modern-day Palestinians, not Scandinavian. And as I looked at a number of different responses this morning, there's a variety that, but one that I thought was the best was the fact that Jesus may not have had white privilege, but what he gave up was even, here it is, actually. It says, also access to white privilege isn't the sin. But anyhow, it was the point that Jesus gave up divine privilege.
Yeah.
Something much higher than white privilege, he gave up divine privilege. So,
yeah. Yeah, and again, I think that's important for us to remember. Quite honestly, that seems to be a bit of a misdirection in terms of, you know, what did Jesus come to do, right? He came to save sinners. And when we become intentionally provocative like that, I think it becomes, it really makes our witness as believers a bit of a joke, quite honestly.
So I think to use the giving up divine privilege as a closing point, I mean, I think the idea from Philippians 2, right? I mean, he was the highest of high, and he became the lowest of low. And so that right. is the indisputable fact, and he's the one we follow. This was one other tweet that of the many that responded. Somebody said he wasn't white, he wasn't American, he didn't speak English, he wasn't rich. Jesus relied on the kindness of strangers to feed him and his followers. He lived in Africa as a kid. So anyhow, those are some thoughts.
And I think, again, it's stuff we all need to wrestle with. And I'm glad for people who have responded in that way.
So. Very good. All right. There we go. I mean, just a deep. Now, you don't want to snore. That's a whole other issue. But we want to talk a little sleep here this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show.
Night Sounds with Rod Larson has invaded the WIB Wake Up Show.
Many years. Bill Pierce, that was his show, 10:30 here on WIB. Well, I don't know. I guess it started off the air. I just mentioned that I've been waking up the last couple nights like 2:30 in the morning and not able to fall back asleep after that.
Yikes.
So getting about those nights, probably about 5 good hours.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 to 5 good hours.
That's early.
And then you're just up, and then you work a long day.
Well, and if you feel energized, then it's okay. This morning, I slept in. I forgot to set my alarm back a few minutes, so I slept in until 5:15.
Ooh.
And, I was so tired. Like, I'm so tired. I went walking, and by the time I got home, I was like, oh, I could go back to bed. And I don't know why I'm so tired. I was in bed by 10 last night. You know, that's kind of the norm for me. Sleep, you know, 10 to 5. That's okay. 7 hours.
Yeah, see, I don't take very long to get ready. So, yeah, I get up more. Well, I do some devotions and such. But, you know, I don't get up until maybe 20 to 6 at the earliest. But usually I give myself an extra 10 minutes or so. But also, I did stay up past midnight last night because for whatever reason I was awake. And there was baseball on. And then there was basketball on. And I said, sports. And everybody else was asleep. So I stayed up.
There you go.
Sometimes it's nice to just be up in your quiet house. I did that the other night where, like, everyone was in bed. And I just, like, cozied in on the love seat in my quiet house and watched a show. And didn't talk to anybody or have them talk to me. And it was wonderful. So... I don't know.
You asked me my bedtime. I mean, typically like 9, somewhere in that 9 to 9:30, I like to be like reading something to my wife out loud. That's fun. Talking with her.
Sure.
And then just kind of getting yourself ready to just doze right off. So
Right. So, yeah, I try to hit that 6 to 7 hour sleep range.
Well, and here's a doctor in Eau Claire, Dr. Joseph Crisali. This is getting state attention. He's saying that getting enough sleep could help reduce the stress felt by people during the pandemic. He says around a third of adults weren't getting enough sleep at night even before the pandemic. And he says sleep helps restore bodily functions, which are vital for mental and physical health. I mean, totally. I tell you what, you're worn down. I mean, you're way more susceptible to, it seems to me, anxiety and all kinds of things.
Absolutely. So I found this thing. It's like 17 celebrity moms share how much sleep they actually get. And I was a little surprised.
And also not only the hours of sleep, but when they go to bed, when they wake up typically too.
Michelle Obama, she's in bed by 10. She gets up at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Anything before 5 to me just feels like nighttime. I don't want to.
Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, go to sleep at 10, wake up 6:30 a.m., 8.5 hours of sleep.
That
sounds more my style.
Not bad. This one isn't surprising. Hoda Kotb, she's a morning show person.
Yeah.
She goes to bed by 8, and she's up at 3 a.m. So she gets 7 hours, but early riser.
Marie
for
Kondo
work.
Gets 8 hours of sleep, if you ever watch that on Netflix.
Marie, yes.
There you
sparks
go.
Joy to sleep longer.
So, yeah, I don't know. Get some sleep. It's good for you and your stress levels. Well, we recently became a streaming family, if you will, just within the last several weeks. We got Netflix and Disney Plus. And so we're kind of new to the streaming service realm, which it's okay. But I was very interested in this. Netflix users actually only consume 2% of its content in a given year.
When there were all those jokes going around when things were extremely locked down of, oh, you've reached the end of Netflix. Not really.
No.
Very possible.
Yeah, because
it's kind of mind-boggling when you assess the choices. You're like, wow, there's that many Jim Gaffigan comedy specials.
Sometimes it takes you longer to find something to watch than you actually
spend watching. Yes, that's exactly what we're finding. That is exactly what we're finding. So this is interesting. There are 36,667 hours of content available on Netflix, which I've got my calculator here.
Let's do the
math. 36,667 divided by 24 hours in a day. Yeah, you can't watch all that in a year. That's like 1,500 days worth of.
Wow.
Yeah. So impressive, nonetheless. But we only consume about 2% of that in a given year. The average person watches 733 hours of Netflix in a year. And I was like, whoa, there's 365 days in a year. That's 2 hours of Netflix a day. That's 2 hours of Netflix. And part of me is like, that seems like a lot. But the other part of me is like, that doesn't seem like very much when I really think about my life and I'm honest with myself.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't watch
watch 2 hours of TV a day. Yes, I do.
It could happen. And here's the thing.
It does happen.
Best feature, maybe its worst feature. And that's the auto play.
Oh,
so when you're watching The Office and you finish an episode and they're only 22 minutes long, and then it just starts the next one.
Sure.
And the thing is, in like 5 seconds or whatever it is, as the little scroll is going across, you don't have time to get out of your chair. Like,
no.
I'm 33 years old. I can't move that fast. So you might as well just stay and let it happen.
It,
and
yeah.
You go on to the next one. It's like, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
On and on and on we go.
So,
I think one of the things I've appreciated, though, is the bond. Like, there was a show. I'm not afraid. A Person of Interest that we watched in our house.
Jim We've Caviezel started watching
played
that.
Jesus
yeah.
on Passion of the Christ and is a brother in the Lord. And I don't know. I just found like, great acting. It was a good plot. And there was, like, bonding and connection. And together we got through it. And my son and I are watching a show now, too. I mean, that we both are saying, hey, we're hanging out together.
Yeah.
We're talking about this show. And
right.
So that's a positive that I think can sometimes get overlooked.
It's interesting because I think, you know, television, it can divide families and, and keep them separated, but it can also bring you together. And now we're going like full in because now I'm like, okay, we're going to get a Roku for the basement and the family room. And so now we can stream in two locations. And it's, but Dean and I have been very, very mindful of that. Cause I'm like, I don't want this to divide us. I don't want this to be, they're watching this, we're watching that. Cause that's not typically how we function. But given recent events in the world, I just feel like this winter we're going to be home a lot and a lot of things are canceled and a lot of things are shut down. And so I'm kind of like, if I ever want time alone with my husband again, we need to have a second
TV. So much fun on Disney Plus, and that's the one where I found a lot more family friendly content. But watching some of these old, like, Winnie the Pooh episodes, or even Cooper discovered he loves Spider-Man, discovered some of the old Spider-Man cartoons.
Fun.
So, yeah, there's something nostalgic about that. And also some of them, I'm like, I never watched this before. Let's sit down and give this 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what really brings families together is WWI Radio.
Absolutely.
Now, saving money is hard to do. And so if you do it, I mean, it's mission impossible accomplished,
right? It can be, yes. Well, this guy in our very own Wauwatosa.
Mark's hometown.
That is my
hometown.
In the news.
It's exciting. He has been saving his coins for 20 years. Just throwing them in a bucket, jar.
20 years.
20 years. Well, there's a change shortage out there because of the disruption of the...
Because of him!
Yeah.
Mr. Jim Holton from Wauwatosa. Yeah, so we heard about this change shortage. And so he brought his 5-gallon pails, multiple 5-gallon pails full of change to his local bank and started counting it with their self-service coin counter.
I have two containers. I don't know what they used to hold, but you know, peanut butter or pickles or something on our dresser at home. One's for my personal money and then for our family change. How big is your container for change?
We have a coffee can.
Okay.
And typically we'll fill the coffee can over the course of a year, and we save our change all year and use it to go to Oktoberfest.
Isn't it fun
Chippewa.
Though to take it in and get that?
It is. And now this year I'm like, oh, we had nothing to save our change for. But typically that's what we do.
I just have a small little dish because I really like going through self checkouts. Introvert. And paying exact change.
Oh, okay.
So I usually don't have tons of excess change around.
Right. You guys are going to have me guess how much he saved
how
over
much
20
money,
years?
How much change
years.
Do you think he saved over 20 years?
All right, so I've got a figure in my head to start this off, and then we'll just kind of go from there if we play it a little higher or lower. I'm going to start at, now it's funny because I just took some change in for my son yesterday, and he had like $44, and it was just a skillet, Skittles container.
Sure.
Anyhow, I'm going to say $7,000.
That is too high.
That's too high. Okay.
But I think a good initial guess.
A good initial guess, yes.
Because I thought if he did, I don't know how long Dawson had done that for. All right, so let's go down to $5,000.
Too low.
All right. You got to go in the middle. 6,000.
Yeah. Too high.
5,500.
You're getting much closer.
Yeah, you're still high. We're going to the nearest nickel. How long do we want to do this?
So it's still too high. 5,300.
Ooh, a little low.
A little low. 5,400.
A little high.
5,350.
Ooh, little tiny low.
5,355.
A little low.
5,375.
Oh, a little high. Okay.
5,365.
Whoa, really, really close. Really
so
low.
Close.
Should we give him a gimme on that?
I think we get a gimme on that.
$5,366.05.
Wow.
They're showing, I'm watching the news story. I mean, big five gallon pails.
Buckets.
If you've ever carried 5 gallon pails full of cement,
yeah.
I'm just thinking similar weight with all of that
change. I
want
to know, A, how much it weighed, and B, like when I take my change in, the machine inevitably spits out like coins that it just doesn't want to take. I want to know how many of the coins it spit back at him.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that is an interesting question. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we all get dressed every day. At least I hope we do.
You'd certainly hope.
Have you ever hurt yourself getting dressed?
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
Well, I have some pairs of socks that are tighter than others.
Yes.
And like trying to hop around and get, because it's like I could just sit down and put on the socks. But
no,
it's like I got to put them on standing up.
Use
and
your
so,
balance.
Yes, I have lost my balance and stumbled into things.
I find as I get older that it's more of a regular occurrence where I'm doing something average that I never thought would hurt me. And suddenly it's like, how did I pull a muscle?
One, that's the, I mean, pull honestly, like as a teenager, it's like I could fall skiing at Christie Mountain, like take some big falls and be up the next day ready to do it again. Now it's like I look the wrong direction for too long or try and twist my head, you know, backing up in the car, and it's like, can't move for a week.
Or I'm putting, like, my pants or socks on, and you fall over. Like, no, it's a good time.
I thought these things just happened in cartoons.
No, apparently a report from the Consumer Product Safety Commission revealed that 120,000 Americans suffer clothing-related injuries each year.
So you're not alone. We're not alone.
Yay. There's a woman that it says that dislocated her shoulder while putting on a T-shirt.
Ow.
One woman fell and broke her nose. This is common. It talks about women wearing sweaters and they're putting them on in an earring. Like it catches on your earring. Oh, that's not fun.
Apparently, it's also common. And here I am thinking, yeah, I've probably done this. It's quite common for people to hit themselves in the face while pulling off socks. Just the vim and vigor of,
I gotta
get this thing off.
Good times. So be careful out there, friends. If you're not dressed already, dress with caution today.
There are just so many ways we can injure ourselves, and I feel like they become almost more prevalent. It's like when you're toddlers.
Yes.
Things happen all the time. And then when you start reaching, you know, that threshold of middle age, then everything hurts inexplicably.
Pretty much. Everything hurts and you're always tired. That's where I'm at today. Yays!
At least you know where to tune for great music, no matter what age you are.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.